Welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 66 for the week of February 24th, 2010.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Albor.
I'm Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. And for those podcast listeners who can remember back 20 episodes, we had a little wager going in which we decided to see who could guess which were the top 10 video game sales for the winter holiday season. Mm-hmm. So this was a bet that was inspired by another video podcast called The Totally Rad Show, mm-hmm. where they do this for summer blockbusters, mm-hmm. and we wanted to transpose this into the video game realm. Mm-hmm. The way that it works in general is that we each picked our top 10 list, which mm-hmm. we'll go over once again, and compare it to the actual top 10 lists mm-hmm. that we found out, and according to what matches up with what, we distribute a certain number of points.
Yeah.
And what was on the line was a dessert. Mm-hmm. So we were going to find out which one of us have won this little wager. Uh-huh. I believe I requested tiramisu. I think that request stands.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I was going to launch into like our trials and tribulations.
Okay.
I mean, we thought we were being pretty clever, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I
thought we had this in the bag.
This turned out to be probably the biggest pain in the ass, other than just launching the website, that we've ever had.
Absolutely.
In this. Because we thought that we'd be pretty clever and say that we're not going to count things like Wii Play and Mario and Sonic Olympics and crap like that that hasn't actually come out in the fall of 2009, but is still in the top 10 or top 20 best-selling. Because we don't really care about what is still best-selling. We want to know how the new things were selling. We want to know how the newest titles. Unfortunately, we both underestimated the appeal of games like Let's Dance and Sonic and Mario Winter Olympics.
Oh my god.
And Wii Play, which is still going strong nearly 3 years after its release, selling millions of copies a month.
Oh yeah.
And so it made it a lot harder to figure out what new games actually sold.
Add on to the fact that publishers are incredibly tight-lipped about their data, that the NPD doesn't release things to the consumer public, mm-hmm. and what they do release is not as extensive as we would have liked.
No, a lot of times they cut off the actual hard numbers at, like, number 10.
Yeah, so Scott and I found ourselves floundering through a bunch of websites and journals looking for statistical data, and what we came up with, we'll explain along the way, but it's a rough estimation. I want everyone to appreciate how inaccurate our actual top 10 will be.
Yeah, I mean, no one better take this for any kind of like investment advice or anything, because, you know, half this stuff is dark magic and incantations that we did to, especially later on in the list.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we go ahead and start? I'll go ahead and read the actual rankings with the games that we saw. Actually,
the way that we the games that we calculated to be the 10 best-selling new games for the fall season of 2010. Again, another caveat in the North American territories, because that's what the NPD pays most attention to.
Sure. Yeah. Well, actually, why don't we start with reading what our number one picks were, and then say what it was.
Okay, so I predicted that it would be Wii Fit Plus. I thought everyone would be shedding those pounds.
They wouldn't sweat into the oldies.
They wouldn't be stuffing their faces with turkey. They'd be down with the balance board.
Right.
Yeah.
My pick for number one was Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. Because, you know, the fragging nubs is the way to warm your heart during the holiday season.
The actual number one?
Yeah.
Modern Warfare 2.
Modern Warfare.
Thank you very much.
And not only the actual number one, but, I mean, it was almost double the second. Or not almost double, but millions above the second place.
Absolutely. Yeah. It sold roughly $9.4 million.
Yeah.
Just between...
Or not 9.4 million copies.
Sorry, 9.4. Yeah. Way far.
Times 50. Yeah. Okay.
9.4 million copies in November, December, and beginning of January. Mm-hmm. That is just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And this is only domestic sales.
Yeah.
Worldwide, this game has made a huge splash.
And also, it's really hard to track on the PC who downloaded it. And not just illegally, but like who downloaded it from Steam.
Right.
Because the Steam numbers, as we'll get to later on, leave something to be desired.
So I don't think any of us were surprised by this.
No. I mean, it was basically a choice of whether to put it 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what it came down to.
Yeah.
So number two then.
Yeah. Number two, I picked Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
I picked the new Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be
New Super Mario Bros. Wii, number two. Excellent pick. I don't know. Do we have anything to say about New Super Mario Bros. Wii? We're still playing it. I think we're playing it more than we're playing Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, absolutely. We just played it yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, another great game. I ranked it higher than you, which I'm surprised because I think this was your game of the year.
One of my games of the year. I mean, I just thought that...
We
I don't know. I'm really surprised that it's even in the top five. Like, it doesn't really seem that it's a very... You know, we think of the Wii audience as basically our mothers, you know, and there's no way my mom could play this game.
Yeah.
But I guess it just is a testament to how popular both multiplayer is and how popular Mario continues to be. It's an extremely well-made game. I didn't put it lower because I didn't think it was going to be good. I just am shocked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it still sold 4.9 million copies, which is incredibly well.
Yeah.
Still nothing compared to Call of Duty.
Yeah, but yeah. Millions behind Call of Duty.
There you go.
Okay, so now we're on to number three.
So the pick that I chose for number three was Wii Fit Plus, which was your number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
You chose...
I chose New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which was, you know, your
natural
number two.
Actual answer, Wii Fit Plus. Again, point goes to me.
Yeah.
Hooray. and the same thing. Wii Fit Plus, I was actually really unsure about, as I recall.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like something that could match some of the power hitters that we would get. Mm-hmm. But I think that when you compare the games that also have longevity, they tend to be these Nintendo games, the family-friendly ones, Sonic and Mario, or even Bowser's Inside Story sold really well this year.
Yeah.
We didn't count it within our list because it came out in September, but it still sold ridiculously well. And when I think about the market that these games are being sold to, it's the same group of people.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like the original Wii Fit sold really, really well. And I thought that there were still people out there that didn't have it, and this would be their opportunity to jump in on it. I think maybe the higher price point could have hurt it a bit, since it's bundled with the balance board. I mean, you can actually buy it without the balance board, but I think most people coming into it probably were folks that were getting into the balance board in general.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's just my sense of it.
No, I agree. I mean, it still sold over 4 million copies, and I'm sure it'll still be climbing for some time.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day? Some people getting it for
I'm sure that's what your special someone would really want for Valentine's Day. They open it up. It's like, so, you know, I thought this would be fun to do together.
That's adorable.
I got you a huge cake. Well, the Wii Fit Plus board won't be very happy about that.
Now for the number four pick, my choice was Band Hero. And
My choice was Lego Indiana Jones the second.
The actual answer? Assassin's Creed 2.
All right. Hey.
Oh, crap. Both of us were way off.
A complete wash.
Lego Indiana Jones and Band Hero sold horribly.
Yeah.
They did not show up on the top 10 list.
Or even some of the top 20 lists that we saw.
Oh, yeah. It was ugly. What were we thinking?
I was thinking... it was my cynical nature. I think people... I mean, the Lego games are really popular. And I thought that it would just continue to be popular. I mean, I think they're extremely bad games in general. And I wish they would stop making them. So this was clearly a like tactical decision by me.
I made the same choice.
Yeah. With Band Hero.
Yeah, with Band Hero.
Because we're kind of sick of, to be honest, I would say both of us are kind of like, not over rhythm games, but like it's not novel anymore.
And which is why I think one of the reasons Band Hero did so poorly is
that
we're just saturated with music games.
But you thought the unwashed masses were not as highfalutin as us.
And that's the funny thing is so many of our choices that we failed at are based upon this idea and this fear amongst the gamer population that we are misrepresented.
Yeah.
That for every million gamers who like hardcore games, there's 8 million gamers who like My Little Pony adventures and crap like that.
And there is, but like this is still reflective of new games. Like new traditionally hardcore games still succeed better than new traditionally casual games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is interesting. I mean, you know, the ones that are succeeding are like Wii Play and stuff, but this says that that would succeed no matter what.
And Assassin's Creed 2 is a really enjoyable game. I'm glad it did so well.
Yeah, because you played it.
I mean, we have a rough estimate, but we guessed about 2.5 million copies sold domestically, which is very reasonable. It's not that far behind a lot of the other bigger titles. Mm-hmm. And I don't think... I wasn't expecting it to rank that high.
That's especially after the first one. I felt like there was kind of a lot of ambivalent buzz after the first one, and it didn't strike me as something that people would want to get back into. But
surprise,
it was on some people's like Games of the Year type list. So and it reflected it in the sales. Mm. Cool. All right, so on to number 5 here, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so for the 5th pick, for my pick, I chose Dragon Age Origins. And what did you pick, George?
I chose Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
The actual game that reached number 5, Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
And I want to say this right now, this was the worst statistic to track.
Yeah.
Valve is very secretive about their Valve Steam sales, mm-hmm. the games that they sell via their digital distribution model.
Yeah.
We could find that the world retail value of Left 4 Dead 2 was about 2.9 million.
Mm.
But this is worldwide, and we were only counting domestically.
Not only worldwide, but worldwide retail, so boxed.
Boxed.
Yeah.
So it does not include the downloaded
games
versions.
So this is where the list gets real sketchy.
Yeah, and it does. And so our estimates were based upon some other analysis saying that if they were to include retail, sorry, if they were to include online sales, it would be much higher.
Yeah.
All we knew was that surely it was well above the one game that is below it, which we won't announce yet.
Yeah.
But I know that, again, the first 2 weeks, their pre-orders were about like 2 million, I believe, online.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's safe to say that Left 4 Dead 2 did very well for itself.
Yeah. It could even, here's the thing, it could possibly be higher than Assassin's Creed. It could probably be higher than it, but
I would probably say it is,
But there's no way for us to know that.
So, I mean, that's a big fuck you, Valve, right?
Yeah.
I really wanted to figure out its data, and they just wouldn't release it.
Yeah, and I mean, we had a long discussion about how we should categorize it, and even why Valve would be so secretive about it. I mean, my thought is that it's kind of a middleman issue. I mean, they don't want people to know how much business they do, because it's a profitable business, and it might, once people realized how much money they could make just from flat out digital distribution, they might realize that Valve just is a packaging thing rather than a value add thing.
Right. And and to me, that's shady business. I'm all for transparency in the industry. So for one publisher to be so tight lipped about it, not that it was easy in any way, shape or form for the other publishers, but Valve in particular, I was surprised.
Especially when it's the forefront. Like it's the clear, I mean, even though it's very shadowy, it's still the clear leader of the digital distribution world. And it's a shadow leader, you know, like we don't know what's going on here.
What the hell? I mean, share your secrets. Come on.
You guys probably cost me a whole afternoon of baking a poorly designed tiramisu.
All right, moving on. My pick for number 6 was Left 4 Dead 2. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't too far off.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. mine was here's the cynicism creeping back up again. Lego Rock Band.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah.
The funny thing is, that's really a combination of Lego and Lego Indiana Jones and Banjo.
Truly, all that I hate. No, I mean, like I like the rhythm games. I think they're clever, and I think that you know they're really popular. But what I guess I didn't foresee is that A, they might be too expensive, especially in this economy. Like you don't want to drop all that money on them for people that don't already have it. And B, if you already do have it, maybe the Rock Band 2 store is good enough. You don't need to, if you want family-friendly songs, you can just go and peruse the, you know, the online list and not have to buy a whole new game. And maybe the Lego isn't a big deal. Maybe no one cares about it.
But, I mean, you care about it. So, really, could be the worst of both worlds. You have the market saturation of rhythm games and the people who are sick and tired of Lego games.
Yeah. So I don't know. Okay. But, anyway, that was, like, again, another cynical thing. Left 4 Dead 2 is a good call. I mean, again, it's, like,
okay, super shadowy. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was higher, but there's no
the
way
actual
to know.
One you spent a lot of time with it and continued Dragon Age Origins with it. So, you know, you're one of
which
the
you
many
had ranked higher.
Shadowy masses. I did, yeah.
I think it's great.
And you purchased it off of Steam, right?
I did.
Last so you fall, ordered a boxed copy. Got a
exactly.
Lot
and I'm not going to tell you
all
how
sudden,
many hours
I remember, like, Idle Thumbs talked about it for, like, an hour and a half on one of the podcasts. And I could really see it gaining some critical attention to, like the people who write video game blogs. And it seems like people were kind of hungry for another really hardcore PC RPG, you know, like a Baldur's Gate style thing.
I mean, that's a good call. That was a good decision on your part.
Yeah.
Because I did not see Dragon Age coming that high. I figured it would sell really well because, you know, it's a fantasy epic. We maybe haven't gotten one of those in a while.
Yeah, we've never played a game about swords and sorcery and
princesses. I hear talk of Lord of the Rings. I don't know. But at the same time, BioWare was busy making Mass Effect 2. What were they doing here with Dragon Age? I didn't know they were making anything good.
It's a lot of range, and also I feel like it's pretty bold to put both of those games out in essentially the same time frame where people could still be playing them.
I am. I'm playing both of them right now, and I love Dragon Age.
No wonder I haven't seen you for a week.
This is the Dragon Age. The only thing that stopped me from playing Dragon Age was Mass Effect 2, and I was thoroughly surprised by, to some extent, both titles.
Yeah.
So
okay, so now we're going on to the number 7 slot. I picked for the number 7 slot Assassin's Creed 2.
And I also picked Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, so we underestimated it by all accounts.
We did, and I think we were right in underestimating it. Yeah. And I think a lot of people actually underestimated Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
Based upon the reception of the Assassin's Creed 1, again.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what we could have done differently, Scott.
I could have gone into the Animus and found my genetic predecessor told him not to enter into this foolhardy bet.
Exactly. So the actual winner of number 7, however, was Borderlands.
A game that we completely ignored.
Did not see that happening.
Yeah.
That sold about 1.11 million copies, just behind Dragon Age Origins.
And also, I mean, it's a big PC game too, so who knows about the digital distribution side of it.
Again, this is another game that got a lot of positive reception when it came out.
And unexpected, too.
Absolutely.
I felt like a lot of the compliments towards it were kind of backhanded. People were saying, I didn't expect anything from this game, but...
Yeah, I mean, because we saw, like, Borderlands saw a late-game aesthetic change.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of questioning about how it would work with loot, because people knew that it was a little bit like a RPG first-person shooter.
Yep.
And we know what that might look like from Fallout 3, but yeah. Borderlands looked like something else entirely.
Well, it's much more Diablo-based. Like, you know, it's always about grinding and killing more dudes and getting more loot, you know?
Right, and...
Less about story.
And I didn't think that it was going to do well.
Yeah.
I played it and didn't actually enjoy it all that much.
Yeah, I didn't even play it, but
the way that people talk about Borderlands is just stunning, and I have to go back to it because the way that we refer to it commonly is just...
Maybe on the PC. Yeah, maybe if you do it on the PC.
Maybe.
Okay, so moving on to the number 8 slot. Well, mine is less interesting. I picked Left 4 Dead. I thought that would be number 8.
Yours reasonable.
Yours is more interesting.
I picked Lego Indiana Jones 2. I mean, we need to stop picking these things.
I know. I picked it for number 4, though. Look at me. Like,
gosh, what were we doing?
We must have been really bitter in November. In October, right?
Yeah, October.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? There's a silver lining to every cloud.
Yeah.
This means that people don't like these games anymore.
Hooray!
Yay!
Okay, but the number 8, by what we can tell, and again, this is kind of a contentious one. We spent a lot of time deciding where we would put this one. We think Uncharted 2 came in about number 8 overall. It's hard because, you know, it did really well when it first came out. You know, sold like 500,000 copies in the first month. Subsequently, Michael Pachter had an interview in December saying that it had only done 600,000 sales approximately.
Yeah, about 650,000.
Yeah. And he was saying, wow, that, you know, that's a huge drop off. From it's like in November, of course, everyone is going to be buying Modern Warfare, but no one expected that big of a drop off,
which is bizarre. I feel like it got a lot of really good reception. It topped a lot of people's games of the year charts.
Oh yeah, there was multiple people that called it game of the year.
I think there's reason to believe that Uncharted 2, it might not have incredibly long legs, but I think after a lot of the buzz around it, maybe it picked up towards the end of December and January.
Could be. And you know, there's also an article we found, an interview with Amy Hennig, and it was written by Ben Fritz, and he has this offhand remark saying that, and you know, there's no real good citation to it, but he said that it's moved to, it was sold 2.5 million worldwide. And so we figured that, you know, if it was 600 something in December, probably it did a little bit more in January as well. But you know, again, it's really shady how to count it all up.
Yeah.
So number 8 was the best we could assume.
I mean, I wish it had been a better game, and I ranked it better. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
I wish it had done better on the I wish it had done better in the market. Yeah. I think that
it's I wish it had been a better game.
Yeah, you wish it had been a better game. I wish that people had appreciated what great of a game it actually was.
Yeah. So no one's happy.
Exactly, no one's happy. I ranked it number 5. It was my game of the year, essentially, last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I didn't expect it to be as good as it was, and it was even better. But
I mean, I still think it's fairly impressive to even be considered in the top 10 because the first one wasn't... You know, it didn't sell that great because it came out early on in the PS3 life, and there wasn't a lot of people that had a PS3 at that point.
But you can't really blame it on the first iteration anymore. Assassin's Creed 2 did great, even though the first iteration was...
I wonder if that will... Because, I mean, who knows? Like, will we see that with Bioshock? I don't think Bioshock 2 is going to get a better reception than Bioshock 1.
Ooh, do you want to make a little wager?
Well, that's already messed up. I think the reviews have already come out.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so going on, what?
We're number nine. Yes. Yeah. For number 9, I chose DJ Hero.
All right, and for number 9, I chose Spirit Tracks, Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks on DS.
And the actual number 9, DJ Hero.
Say what? As far as we can tell, DJ Hero, number 9.
Number 9, at roughly 0.8 million.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some talk about like how much it's actually sold versus how much profit it is. And it's a really expensive game, so that kind of skews things.
Which is actually why I think that it did way better than even the numbers display. Yeah. I mean, 0.78, I mean, essentially 700,000, almost 800,000 copies sold.
Yeah.
That's a $200 game.
Yeah.
If you're including the Chua Chua thing.
Yeah.
What is that called? the turntable.
Also known as the turntable.
You know, I'm not exactly educated in the fine art of turntablism.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a good call. And it's weird that sold, but Band Hero didn't sell. Or that sold, and Lego Rock Band didn't sell.
Again, that's market saturation. DJ Hero is a new IP. We've got new control schemes.
And it's just different enough. It just seems like it's not... And I've seen it being played, and I've seen like little demos of it. And it's, to me, it looks harder than picking up the plastic guitar. Accessibility.
I put it on my top 10. I was still shocked
that
it sold this well. And I think a lot of people were. It doesn't necessarily have the biggest appeal to people who might not know the music.
Yeah.
But it still pulls it off. Yeah. It did it.
Well, plus it has Daft Punk.
And who doesn't love Daft Punk, right?
Yeah. Okay. So that was an unexpected one. And
neither of us have played the game.
No, we haven't. Maybe we should.
No. Meh.
Okay, so now we are moving on to the 10th and final pick. For my 10th pick, I went with my heart.
You went with your heart. And where does that lead you, Scott?
It leads me to the land of heavy metal. I picked Brutal Legend. I thought that it might be a kind of a dark horse thing. It would creep up on everyone. This would be the game that kind of catapulted Tim Schafer from kind of critical darling to mainstream success.
Yeah, and I actually chose Dragon Age Origins again to reestablish my ignorance about how well of it would do. You know what? I think Tim Schafer would have liked that to actually be the case.
Yeah, sure.
The actual number 10 was Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks.
Yeah, which I was almost there with the number 9 I chose for Spirit Tracks. But, which, I mean, number 10 for Spirit Tracks is actually really impressive to me because it came out in December.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's why I kind of put it far down on my list. You know, the rabid Zelda fanboys let me down. What can I say?
And I would have put it on my top 10 if I didn't have the selection that I did.
Yeah.
I think Legend of Zelda, again, I don't think it's surprising it went this high.
No, not at all.
I mean, again, it came out in December, which is quite a feat. Mm-hmm. At the same time, its audience is built in.
Yep.
I mean, you could come out with like a Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks coaster and it'd probably be sold better than Brutal Legend.
Yeah, that's rough too, because I didn't play Brutal. I played the demo of Brutal Legend. And I never got around to playing the full game. I was kind of interested in playing it, but it was just kind of one of those games that went on the wayside. And it was one of the games where the thing that attracted me to it was the story and the presentation and the writing. And I tend to favor games that interest me mechanically and dynamically more so than aesthetically. And so, you know, it had to fall by the wayside for me.
And I did play it. It didn't really capture me the way it captured some people.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know whether or not it failed because it's a bad game. I don't think it's a bad game.
No, I think it was something that people didn't expect. Like, I remember people being somewhat taken aback by the RTS elements in it.
It's just not of its time, you know?
I mean, when I first saw it, it looked like a God of War style game. And then in the demo, it felt like a God of War style game. And then evidently it pulls back and all of a sudden you're commanding troops and you're you know, shifting around different classes of soldiers. And, you know, it takes a strange left turn.
I mean, I think this is a situation where this could be indicative of just, you know, new IP is not doing too well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dragon Age did great.
Yeah.
Borderlands did surprisingly well.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest on the list, besides DJ Hero, which is a rhythm game, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't really call that a completely new IP,
yeah.
were sequels.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I mean, I didn't really think about that as I was going through the list. Of course, I mean, even if they're not sequels, they have New Super Mario Bros. Wii. It's like an established thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So what did we learn from this whole experience?
We learned that the video games industry is way too secret about their publishing sales.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Pachter has secured himself a job for some years now because...
Good God!
Yeah, he seems to be... We should. I mean, it would be torture to listen to, but it would have been hilarious to record when we were like coming up with these calculations and trying to swat them. Oh, yeah, that would have been great, right? yeah, I think in the future it'd be interesting to kind of take into consideration a more holistic view of, like, do we think that Dragon Age can inch out Wii Play? You know, and that's, it might be more depressing because we're just kind of buying the same game over and over every year. Or maybe not. Maybe that just means they're really good games persist.
I mean, I think, yeah, I guess, but a lot of the games that persisted were, you know, Sonic and Mario.
Mm-hmm.
The slots that we put on our top 10 lists mm-hmm. that failed miserably
mm-hmm.
were games that we thought would appeal to the normal person audience, the casual gamer.
Yeah.
It turns out that the games that appeal to casual gamers are games that have already been around for a year.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of nice. Because, you know, we picked a bunch of, like, really tactical games, you know, that we thought might make us score well, but, you know, weren't games that we really liked or wanted to necessarily root for. And it seems like, overall, good games carry the day. You know, like, we don't have schlock up here. I mean, it's, you know, if a new game is released and it is of decent quality, it seems to get a fair amount of sales going for itself.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about... Because, again, the numbers are so skewed.
Yeah.
Like, Modern Warfare 2 at the top, at over, at this point, surely over 7 million copies.
Oh, no, but it was not 7 million. It was 9 million just by our calculations.
Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, in that case, well over 10 million.
Yeah.
Compared to even a great game down in the bottom, Spirit Tracks, Borderlands, Uncharted.
Mm-hmm.
Those had a hard time breaking a million.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, maybe that's just a thing of the rest. You know, I mean, you have the outliers, right? But
the top three, which we got generally correct.
Yeah. That was the thing that was most frustrating about this entire experience, was that we were most sure about the top three. The top three, you know, like, okay, so it ended up coming down to what we chose for the top three. Like, this competition was for me, was lost because I chose a different order of top three than you chose.
Which, while you mention it, we should say...
Yeah.
Scott scored a total of 39 points.
Yeah.
I scored a total of 59 points.
Yeah. And so we'll have a special cooking cast.
Oh, yeah.
At some point in the future. A little bacon going on. but, okay, so we both picked the same games for the top three, and we were so sure of it. We weren't quite sure exactly what would be one, two, or three. You know, there was some guesswork there, but it was no surprise to us.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, those were the numbers that were most easily found. When we got lower on the list, when things got more interesting, like, oh, what actually did do better? Did Left 4 Dead edge out Assassin's Creed, or was it the opposite? As you get lower on the list and get away from the blockbusters, the data becomes a lot fuzzier, which is annoying because that data is more interesting.
And do you think this is a result of people aiming high? And to some extent... If you don't reach those top echelons, have you failed as a developer?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you failed in the eyes of, like, Bobby Kotick or something.
Okay, that's a good example. Band Hero, for example, as far as I understand, was largely made by Red Octane.
Mm-hmm.
Activision just recently fired off the entire Red Octane staff.
Yeah. What? I don't know. It must mean something since it wasn't up here in the best-selling games, but we don't really get to know... we don't really get to know in a granular fashion what the differences were between 8 and 9, between 7 and 8, because so much emphasis was put on what is the top-selling game, what is the number one. And you know Modern Warfare 2 is going to be number one. So what you should try to do is be strategic about how you can position your game to not necessarily be number one, but to still sell well enough to be consistently one of the best sellers.
Yeah.
But we don't know. We don't even know who is consistently one of the best sellers when we get down to the lowest. Yeah.
And it also tells us so little about who bought those games. Yeah. You know, we have such a hard time collecting basic data about how some of these games sold.
Yeah.
And we have no idea what the demographics are.
Mm-hmm.
Even whether or not someone who bought Modern Warfare 2 also bought Uncharted.
Mm-hmm.
Or were these people who played this game, bought it, and just stuck to it?
Yeah.
Or are the people who played Uncharted, did they buy that plus a Wii game? What is that type of collection of purchasers?
And I think it might be harder to track going forward if the digital distribution numbers remain as fuzzy as they are. I mean, you can't even rely on like Best Buy to tell you their receipts, you know, to figure out how much games are selling, because it'll be owned by these more secretive institutions like Valve.
And this actually seems to me to be a very serious problem.
Yeah.
And it's not something that I thought would come out of this fun wager.
Yeah.
But I'm actually fairly concerned as a consumer that we don't have good estimations of sales numbers from digital distribution models.
Yep.
And I don't think there's a lot of people asking for that data.
Yeah.
But it's important to still have it accessible.
Yeah.
There's something about having transparency, whether or not we're looking for it. Because
when you need it, you want it there.
Right, and this should be a common practice.
When there is a cake riding on the
line. We're talking tiramisu here.
Yeah, so it was fun. I mean, if you folks want to weigh in with your predictions, and if this surprised or shocked you in any way, you know, feel free to write in. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
I know some of you made your own picks a few months ago, so why don't you go ahead and leave your comments in the comment section to this podcast, letting us know what you got wrong and what you got correct, and maybe some of the games that you had expected to do well but failed miserably.
Yeah.
Again, the site is experiencepoints.blogspot.com. We update Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evening.
And if you pick better than us, maybe we'll send you a couple crumbs or something in the mail.
Oh yeah, tiramisu.
Well, actually, no. Your browsers already have cookies built into them.
Oh, let's not have that.
Okay. All right, everyone. Take care.
Bye bye. Cookies joke.
Cookies.
Nice. 99. Nice.